make it happen, Captain.
From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Larry Larson.
And I'm Gov Maharaj.
And welcome to Defrag.
It's been a while.
What are you talking about?
It feels like I haven't seen you in days.
It's like the difference between seasons, and then they come right back, and they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. I was right here this whole time. Yeah.
So we're just picking up right where we left off.
Of course, we will. Yeah, and the first question from Alex, how soon till we see you on Defrag Show? I'm really missing you guys. Well, right here.
Right now.
I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. It's season 9 of Defrag. So the first thing that we wanted to talk about today is this the small, almost disposable device that Gove has in front of him.
So, I mean,
you might remember this from previous seasons.
Yeah, we've talked about this device before. It's this Winbook 16-gig device. It's a 16-gig eMMC hard drive, SSD,
yeah,
with 1 gig of RAM. Cost me, what did I say?
$68 or
something
like that.
It's like, yeah, super dirt cheap, and it came with...
That was new retail price, too, so it's probably...
It was new retail price and...
Gift with purchase at this point.
I believe it came with Windows 8.1 on it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because you've upgraded before.
Right. And so, you know, with Creator's Update coming mm-hmm. out, I wanted to do another upgrade of this device. And boy, oh boy, let me tell you how painful it was. And it is. It's actually in the current state of upgrading right now.
Yeah. Yeah, you walked in with things hanging off of it and stuff spinning on the screen.
Yes. And the reason why I wanted to talk about this today was that I know that people have these devices.
Yeah.
And it's really, really important that you get them onto the latest versions of Windows. Mm-hmm.
Especially if they're going to be hooked up to the internet.
Exactly. With the original version of Windows 10, the 15.07 version, going out of support pretty soon, some of these devices aren't able to take updates and upgrades seamlessly because they are so small. And this is a 16 gig device, but similar problems can exist on 32 gig devices. Mm-hmm. It is less likely as you go into higher spec devices because there's a ton more free space. People don't tend to fill it up. But on devices like this, you know, you take it out of the box, you get updates, you install a few apps, and you know, you're not installing things like Photoshop on here.
Creative Cloud.
Yeah, you're not installing that on here because it's not the form factor for it. You know, you're using this as an e-reader, as a web surfer, as a movie viewer.
Yeah.
And
for a long time, we used those taped to the back of these TVs
exactly.
for the images that we have.
So they tend to be like single-purpose devices, you know, minor devices. You know, you can give them to your kids. My wife has one. I use it. It's the kind of thing that it's like, you don't want to use your phone. Your battery's dying on your phone. It's just a good device for checking email, checking a web page, mm-hmm. Maybe some remote desktop. I do use it for remote desktop when I'm on the road.
Yeah.
Because what I'll do is hook this up via Miracast or HDMI with a Bluetooth keyboard and mouse, and boom. I can now connect to anything. It's a great device for that.
How is it for Plex?
Fantastic for Plex.
There you go.
I love it for Plex. In fact, I've even set this up as a local Plex server with an SD card mm-hmm. plugged in. So I'll just have content on it. And when I travel, I'll use this as a server with other devices.
Yeah.
But I really wanted to talk about how to get this thing upgraded. If you have a 32 gig or 16 gig device, any size really, you're going to follow the same set of steps.
Yeah.
You're running really low on disk space. What can you possibly do without deleting your own content,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, at a certain point, you get down to such low free disk space that you will have to pull off content.
Yeah.
With this device, I had no content, like there's no pictures, there's no movies on the physical 16 gig itself. There's a few apps installed from the store, but it's really just, you know, the base OS, a few apps from the store, which, you know, only account for a few meg to like a couple dozen mm-hmm. megs. So I don't really worry about that. I don't try to uninstall them or anything like that. And all of the other content is on an SD card. So I don't worry about having to move content around. What I really care about is how do I get this thing as slimmed down as possible without uninstalling apps, but it's very, very base. So the things that you have to do, first of all, when you have this kind of device is make sure you're fully up to date for Windows Update. Mm-hmm. The reason I say that is because it's going to be wanting to get Windows updates regardless.
Yeah.
So the first step is just get that out of the way. Make sure you're up to date, reboot the system when you're done, get it into a steady state. Then what you want to do is run this cleanup wizard. This cleanup wizard will then clear up and compact all of the Windows updates that have occurred. It'll just clear out as much as you possibly can from that system. That is step number one. Number two, on these devices, sometimes, and I am guilty of this because I set it up that way, I've turned on hibernation because I want a fast device on and off, but yeah, getting me back to the exact same state that I was in.
Yeah.
Normally, these types of tablet devices don't have Hibernate turned on. So you may or may not have to worry about that. If you're talking about larger systems, larger tablets, desktops, what have you, you may have hibernation turned on. Turn that off.
Yeah.
In order to do that, for those of you that don't know, fastest way is PowerCFG, WAC, Hibernate, or WAC-H, off. And then hit enter, and the Hiber file that you will see at the root of your drive would be deleted. This particular system, Surface Pro 4, has a 3.4 gig Hiber file.
Yeah.
Because, again, I've got hibernation turned on. And if I was running on a very, very low disk system, that's space that could be easily reclaimed.
Yeah.
So turn that off, you'll reclaim some space. So we went through the disk cleanup wizard, check everything there. We can run through some of the options now. First thing, don't try to run disk cleanup as the user. You may get rid of some of your user temp files, but generally speaking, that's not where the bulk of the stuff is. Mm-hmm. Run it as admin, then you get the full system view.
Yeah.
And this is system temp files, the Windows Update files. While that one is calculating, we'll switch back to it afterwards. So let's talk about how we're actually going to upgrade this system. You have the base unit here, and as you can tell, I've got this USB hub dongle connected to this device.
Yeah.
It's an Inatec brand, and Larry was helpful to remind me that was the name of the company in Office Space.
Yeah.
Spelt a little bit differently, but it's a good hub.
Good enough.
Yeah, it comes with a SD card reader and three USB 3 slots. Find it quite invaluable. It also has an adapter that will take it from a full-size USB to a micro USB.
Mm-hmm.
So it really can connect to pretty much anything.
Yeah.
So I really like that. So the things that you have to do in order to get any Windows version feature update installed on here. Media creation tool. You have to download the media. So this is all I search for, Windows Media Creation Tool. Create Windows 10 installation media, download the tool now. It'll create the tool, have a USB key ready. It'll give you the option for either 64 or 32 or both. I generally choose both because you never know what
size USB stick do you use?
I use a 16 gig.
Okay.
That's all that's required.
Yeah.
The second stick is just empty. And this is another 16 gig stick that I've got. That has to be left empty. So you have the media creation tool downloaded to your key. Plug that in. You have another empty USB key. You plug that in. And then you get to run Windows Setup. Now, what are the command line options for Windows Setup? Because you cannot just run Windows Setup on its own. Setup.exe, double click, you will still fail, at least on a 16 gig device.
Yeah.
On a 32 gig device, you may actually have some better luck, but I'm talking about the steps that I had to go through specifically here. So, the various options that you can go through, you can take a look at the list. And this is, I just did a search for Windows Setup command line options.
Mm-hmm.
The two specific ones that that I used are Compact OS Enable. This will help save drive space.
Yeah.
Pretty significantly. at least get the system able to be upgraded. The other one, the other command line option is scroll, keep going, temp drive. You do whack temp drive, and then you point to the second empty USB key.
Okay.
That will shove a bunch of the temp files into that location, so it is using the absolute bare minimum of the system drive in order to do your upgrade. You do all of that, you kick it off, and you can upgrade the 16 gig device.
Nice.
Without having to wipe it clean and, you know, do a boot from USB and try to get it on there.
Yeah.
For these devices, sometimes they have special drivers injected. Mm-hmm. Touch tends to be the one that is most problematic. So I don't like to do perfectly fresh, clean installs. I know that it's working right now. It works. This is on the 1607 build.
Yeah.
So I know that it works, and it should absolutely work on the Creator's update. We're going to see. I should warn you that when you run the disk cleanup on these very, very low-end devices, it can take a very, very long time.
Yeah.
The options that you want to choose, the disk cleanup is back up and running. Choose basically everything that is a large enough space, right? You know, set up log files, 15K. It's not even worth getting rid of. You know, if you're off by 15K, well, sure.
Yeah.
But if that's the thing that nudges you over the edge, I really, really worry about your system.
That's not going to get you first base.
You can get rid of Windows upgrade log files, temporary files. And look at this. I have system error memory dump files, 1.16 gigs.
Mm-hmm.
Archived Windows error reporting files. I have 2.37 gigs in temporary files. And you can tell I didn't do anything in terms of additional checking.
Yeah.
And these are all unchecked right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So this large one of 5.07 or 507 meg, the system error files, like these are not automatically chosen.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to go through and check them for all the largest ones and then get rid of it. And it might take a while. Be prepared for that.
Yeah.
On these lower spec devices, this particular disk cleanup after I ran through a Windows update, so just a quality update, it took a good 2 hours on this system. Normally it works quite fast, like just regular runtime usage is quite fast, but the disk cleanup of recompressing all of the Windows update files and cleaning it out and resetting its baseline, that just takes a long time.
Yeah.
Make sure that it's plugged into power. That's the other thing to worry about when you're trying to upgrade these tablet systems, is that they're going through so much work that you risk just blowing away the battery.
Ton of read-write.
And I mean, these batteries normally last like 6-8 hours under light usage, but this is like hardcore usage on this tablet right now. So, you know, you don't want to be going through all of this pain and effort to have your battery die in the middle of upgrade, have it roll back, and then you're back to square one again.
Awesome. Well, and let's see if it works.
Yeah, in our next show, I'll show you this this device on Creator's Update.
There we go. All right, back to Alex. Writing this email, is there any bug in Windows that sometimes it does not automatically assign drive letter from pool of free drive letters? I have an external drive specifically assigned F. In my Windows 7 desktop, once I connect the drive to my Windows 8 laptop, it does not show up any drive letter on Windows 8. It's being used by some other drive.
So normally drive letters are associated to a particular device. So the device remembers, Windows remembers.
Mm-hmm.
You might have a policy set on your system that has auto mount turned off. I remember that as actually being the case for non-system drives that are attached, that it for non-USB keys specifically, so we're talking about external hard drives, that it would not automatically mount the drive if it was marked as a system drive. So that may be your actual problem here. So the types of partitions that are installed on the drive may be kicking in some default policies that are saying don't auto mount.
Okay, cool. Next question from Matthew. I have a question about clean boot. As per the below URL, it says a clean boot is performed to start Windows by using a minimal set of drivers and startup programs. And then there's a link how to perform a clean boot. I did not understand how Windows runs in minimal set of drivers after clean boot because there's no way to choose enable disable drivers in msconfig. As per article, clean boot process shows that only disabled startup items and third-party services, not any drivers.
So we'll link to the article in the show notes, but I can tell you right now that, yeah, the article is incorrect.
Yeah.
You can, the article is talking about using msconfig, the built-in tool, to try to isolate issues with either startup or reliability of your machine. And in the article it says that using msconfig you can disable drivers. And really, you can't disable drivers mm-hmm. using this tool. So, which is somewhat interesting.
Yeah.
What you can disable and what it tells you to disable are services. And it'll tell you to say hide all the Microsoft services because the Microsoft services are, you know, built into the OS. They should not be interfered with. They should all just work. So you can take a look at all of the various services that I have that are not Microsoft. Well, I don't really have a lot here on my on my system. Intel, Intuit, because I've got tax something or the other.
Let's take
here.
A look at that.
TeamViewer, Surface Tool, and then you can enable or disable them. I don't recommend disabling the Intel driver stuff.
Yeah.
Video driver stuff, because you may have unexpected failures. Interestingly enough, these are all stopped, which means they're not in active use at the moment. So I wouldn't worry about them.
Okay.
In order to actually disable drivers, you have to go into the registry and disable them that way. And it's somewhat dangerous to disable drivers because, you know, your system may end up not booting. If you're already in a working system and you're enough that you can get to the registry and you start disabling drivers, mm-hmm. you may have a bad time.
Yeah.
I mean, the registry is, of course, only one mechanism of doing it. The other mechanism is Device Manager. So right-click PC properties. Folks should probably already know this.
You can do Windows X, too.
You can do Windows X.
Windows X and then hit M.
If you have you know, particular drivers here, I don't recommend disabling your display adapter. You can choose disable. I don't have any actual hardware in here that I would want to disable.
Yeah.
But you could do it through Device Manager. And you know, once it's disabled, it should take effect on the actual system. You could see if there's any issues. But more often than not, if you're not able to boot into the system or your system's acting extremely unreliably, mm-hmm. you'll have to boot into offline mode. And I don't have the actual ability right now to boot into an offline mode. But let's just bring up RegEdit. And we can go into system, current control set, services, oddly enough. And here you go. Here's where, you know, if you wanted to disable your ATAPI driver for some reason, you'd set its start type as 4, set to disabled. That would, if you do that in the offline mode, so you boot it up from WinPE or recovery console, you can access the machine's registry and then set its start type. That's pretty much the, you know, the registry way, the Device Manager way. That's your best bet.
Yeah.
The other one, of course, is booting into safe mode, which is the opposite of selectively disabling drivers. It only will enable very core specific drivers to be able to run. It's kind of a large hammer. You're not able to actually figure out which driver it is that is causing your issue.
Yeah.
But yes, as we can tell, the article is incorrect, and I've put in for an amendment.
Awesome. All right, from Steven, I've just installed a second NAS on my network, and in doing so, I can now cannot see either NAS under Network and File Explorer. However, I see them on my other network-attached computer. Both are running the latest Creator version, one Pro, the other Affected Machine Home. Both machines have SMB1 turned on, and both NAS have up to SMB3 set. I can access both NAS using UNC and can create shortcuts on my desktop. Are there any commands or utilities that I can run to compare the network settings on both machines?
You probably don't want to dump the network settings, because if they are, you know, vastly different systems, they might have completely different settings. My guess right now is that you're set for the public profile on your network. If you switch to the private profile, you should be able to see them. And there is one other thing that I noticed about this particular comment, is that you've enabled SMB1. That is probably something that you want to disable. For those of you that have heard about the WannaCry ransomware, it's spread via SMB1. And interestingly enough, in Windows 10, we have the ability to disable that. And I highly recommend doing it. I don't know if I even did it on this machine. We'll see if I did. I did not.
Okay.
I know, right? This is awful.
Of all the pieces, if I was going to bet my life on who had that turned off.
You know, I have it turned off on most of my other machines. I haven't kicked this machine on in a while. So in add turn Windows features on and off, highly, highly recommend turning off SMB1.0 support. It's really not needed anymore.
What's an instance where you might need it?
If you're talking to XP machines.
Okay.
Well, you know, if you're using a work group and you're using the network browser, you're actually going through the network and trying to find it as opposed to accessing it by name. But in large networks, it's actually very, very, very slow to go through the, remember the old network neighborhood from XP?
Yeah.
You know, that works okay when you only have two or three, maybe half a dozen machines. But when you have tons of machines, it just makes everything super slow. Most of the time, you know the name of the machine that you need. So yeah, turning that off. And that's easy enough. It'll ask me for a reboot, which I won't do.
Okay. From Nicholas, scenario, Windows 10 1607 running as a VM on MacBook Pro. Virtual machine disk is on SD card. The SD random IO performance is bad. I'm understanding that Superfetch would not be active because A, the SD card is fast in a straight line, and B, it has a rotational speed property of zero. Is there any way to force Superfetch optimize the files on the disk for this VM?
So many things wrong with this. So many things. Never run a VM off an SD card.
Yeah.
It is not designed for that at all. Like, you'll never get good performance off of it. Secondly, let's step back. He's running a Mac, okay? The SD card is in the Mac. He's running a VM off of the SD. Windows has no idea that you're running from an SD card.
Yeah.
So Superfetch doesn't exist on Mac, right? So there's no possible way, like, to the OS, all it sees is that I'm on a really, 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 really slow disk.
Yeah.
That's all that it sees.
Yeah.
It doesn't know, it has no ability to increase its perf, it has no ability to change settings to say, I can work on an SD card, because fundamentally it can't work on an SD card.
Yeah.
Windows is not designed to be running off an SD card. To give you an idea, an SD card is significantly slower than an eMMC. Card. If you could get an eMMC-based SD card, you'd have much, much faster SD. If you were running it off of an actual SSD, you know, an MLC-based SSD, you'd be fine. Again, much, much more expensive. There's a reason why you can get a 128 gig SD card for $30.
Yeah.
Right? And you don't get SSD, 128 gig SSDs for $30. They're just not designed for that. You will. There's nothing that you can possibly do that'll increase perf. And in fact, with all of that writes that are happening on the SD card, you're just going to burn out the SD card.
So put your tech stuff on there.
God, no. Do not rely on that thing. I mean, that thing, if you're actually using it as a, you know, a constant kind of OS, like you're always running your Mac and you're always running this VM at the same time and you're using it for work,
yeah,
If that thing lasts a year, I'll be amazed.
Yeah. I have a motorcycle on a boat that's sitting on the back of a truck, and the motorcycle's not running as well as I'd like, and I don't know what's up with that. For Matthew, I'm using Outlook 2010 with Exchange email account. I'm able to receive new emails in webmail and mobile phone. However, I cannot find new mails even if it shows that folder is last updated at current time. I've tried to repair, reinstall Outlook, but same issue persists.
Something to note about reinstalling or uninstalling and reinstalling applications, especially nowadays, used to be you uninstall an app, it cleaned out most of its data, right? It had, you know, reasonable uninstallers. And, you know, reinstalling the app would be good to go. You'd start off fresh. Things like Office, it tries to be smart. So when it uninstalls, it knows the stuff that is user data, and it kind of keeps it in the back of its mind if, you know, you're trying to anthropomorphize Office. That you may want to reinstall it again.
Yeah.
And what it doesn't want to do is try to recreate a bunch of cached data that it wouldn't have to do. So, you know, you uninstall Office, reinstall Office again, your profile is there, everything is just back to normal super, super quick. And in cases like this, that's actually the problem, is that it doesn't clean that stuff out.
Yeah.
So forget about uninstalling Office. All it is just taking a really, really long time and thrashing your disk a lot. Start up Outlook with the switch Clean IPS. There's a bunch of different Outlook switches. You can go look them up. That particular one helps with this particular situation. There's various other ones. There's things like Reset Views, Clean PST. There's tons of different things that you can use in order to try to reset your cached personal state. In this particular case, this is the one that solved it.
Okay.
But go check out, you know, do a search for Outlook command line switches. It doesn't actually go in any sort of order in terms of destructiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can do a later show on Outlook command line switches.
Yeah.
And I can group them into things that are like, use it as a very, very, very last resort. If you've got, you know, there's things like cleaning up your server rules.
Yeah.
Well, if you clean up your server rules, they're gone forever. You gotta recreate them. That's very destructive. You don't wanna do that if you don't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's things like this where it is relatively non-destructive. It's cleaning out the cache.
Yeah.
It's not anything that you'd really miss. I have particular view states, for example, in Outlook. I set things up so that I have different colors based on people mm-hmm. who mail me. I set things up to look bolded, so that I know things are unread versus read, so that clean views, for example, would be very destructive for me to use, and I would not want to do that on a regular basis because then I have to recreate that all the time.
Yeah.
And generally speaking, it's not the kind of thing that would screw up mm-hmm. this.
Okay. From Ant, my home network is a combo of gigabit, Ethernet, and Wi-Fi. Asus router, Gove. He knows what you like. With a bunch of machines on it, a CAD workstation, a server, my wife's desktop, Surface Pro 3, Surface Pro 4, a couple of iPads, ugh, and some, he said that, not me, and some Raspberry Pis, a smart TV, Android phone, etc. Everything running Windows is on 10 Creator Update. At some point since the update, my home group is broken. My wife says it is a high priority service request.
So Windows 10, actually Windows in general, has never properly upgraded home groups. It's a known issue. I can't talk about what we're doing about it, but I can tell you it's a known issue. And there are, there's really only one way around it. In order to do the upgrade, what you have to ensure is that one machine is part of your home group is always on and running during the upgrade. So you can't take down your entire network and then upgrade all of them at once. It appears as if there's, at least two or three different Windows machines there?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So assuming that they're all part of the home group, one of them needs to be on all the time. It doesn't matter which one it is, just one of them needs to be on so that when they're going through the upgrade, the other machines in the home group can talk to it and mm-hmm. can get the home group settings back. So it knows, we know that during the upgrade that the settings are lost, but we also know how to go contact the existing home group and then get those settings again.
Yeah.
So something may have occurred where, you know, the machines were simply not available during the upgrade. What you can do is essentially just recreate that home group and live and learn. It is, yes, it's unfortunate. I get it. And I feel the pain. I've gone through this pain before.
All right, then. And my apologies to your wife, Ann. All right, pick of the week time. And this is my favorite pick of the week in an extremely long time. This is a VR game for the Oculus and Vive, and it's called Star Trek Bridge Crew. Wow. So this game just came out.
I got it last night. Are you a Trekkie or a
Trekkie. So, you know, this game came out yesterday, and I got it last night, unfortunately a little late last night. And I got to the point where I'd played the game, and I was, you know, at that stage where it's like, okay, I can go to bed now and have a fairly normal day tomorrow, or I can just keep playing this game and forget about it. And that's probably why I'm like half dead today.
So yeah, sucked in, eh?
I engage. So I went for it anyway.
Engage.
Yeah, just kept playing the game. This game is unbelievable. I mean, they always say that like a new device, a new technology needs some, you know, one game to really make it take off. If this isn't it, well, it's it for me. But if it's not it, I don't know what would be. But you can play as any member of the crew. So you can be captain, navigator.
Who's your favorite?
Oh, come on. Seriously. I did nothing but captain. So I haven't even seen what the other chairs look like in this game yet. But yeah, I played the captain the entire time. You can play by yourself with AI and kind of, you know, boss them around. Or you can play multiplayer, and it's like actual people sitting in all the seats and you're talking to them through the microphone on the Vive. I haven't even gotten to multiplayer yet. I've just been playing the single player game. And wow, it's like if you're a fan of the show, there's not much better than sitting in the captain's seat and throwing orders around and blowing up ships and doing this kind of stuff. So definitely one of those ones that you want to check out if you've got a headset for it.
Yeah, I'll probably try it out on yours first. I don't have a Vive yet.
Yeah.
But, you know, I am a huge, huge Star Trek fan. My heart is always with Next Generation.
Yeah,
I grew up with Next Generation.
I get it. Well, you like this. It's, you know, that kind of era.
Right.
And you need to get one so that we can play together because we will have no conflict. Because
right.
I love to be the captain,
yeah,
and you're going to want to be the science officer.
I would totally be the science officer here.
So there you go. We should be doing this. All right. So that is the show for this week. Thanks so much for watching, and we'll see you next time.
Take care.